This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is Dubai the beginning of something deeper?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Welcome to the Morning Open. It's when we take a look at the broader economy as trading gets started for the day. Let's get right into it and ask, where's Wall Street? The S&P is up about 1% right now. The NASDAQ 1.25%. The Dow ahead now by 108 points, 10,453. European markets higher right now as well, more than 1.5% to even 2% in some cases. Japan's central bank said today it'll inject more money into the banking system. The Nikkei shot up 2.5%. Chinese benchmark was up as well. Stock markets in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, not so good. Down anywhere from 3.5% to 7%. The latest ripples from the Dubai World Debt are still affecting things over there. But there have been some positive developments. The state-owned holding company is talking with its banks about restructuring $26 billion in debt. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis this morning. Morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So what's the Dubai debt crisis telling us at a time? I mean, I thought things in the financial markets were settling down. Is this an isolated case, or does it exemplify a much more serious problem?
Well, really, the stock market's totally blowing off this debt restructuring. It's $60 to $80 billion. Moody's actually says it's $100 billion because it seems like chump change since we're used to trillions here. This really is phase two of the global economic debt crisis here. The Middle East debts are so large it could easily dwarf what Lehman Brothers was. And the Eurobanks still aren't out of the woods yet. They haven't disclosed all the bad loans they've got. Take a look at Britain. They bought the Bank of Scotland, so their citizens specifically now own a huge chunk of Dubai real estate. And you've got a lot more defaults, real estate defaults, likely throughout the global financial system.
I want to talk about President Obama speaking tonight. He's expected to announce additional troops will be headed to Afghanistan, 30, maybe 35,000. He's expected to give this address tonight. And, you know, we've been hearing from Congress now, perhaps a war tax to pay for these troops. I mean, isn't that a bad word in an economy like this?
Oh, you won't see any new taxes here. Think Vietnam, where we had guns and butter and deficit spending, and that was only to preserve the good times and was wildly inflationary. This time you're not going to get any new taxes because it's to preserve this very slight economic recovery. But one defense analyst says the funds will be pulled from other development programs, so no overall increase in the budget to the Pentagon here. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul.
All right, Julie Neiman in St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
Later this week, we're going to find out how the jobs picture is looking. November unemployment figures come out Friday. In the meantime, the administration got a boost last night. A new report says stimulus efforts have created up to 1.6 million jobs. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live from our New York bureau. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So what's the report?
Well, it comes from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which says that the $787 billion stimulus package Congress passed in February has generated a lot of jobs, between 600,000 and 1.6 million of them. Of course, the unemployment rate is now above 10%, and this report suggests it would be a lot higher without that stimulus money.
Now, Amy, the White House has taken a lot of heat for its own job numbers. I mean, does this report, do you think, vindicate the administration?
Well, it would look that way. I mean, last month, the Obama administration credited the stimulus package with creating or saving more than 640,000 jobs. And then congressional investigators found some serious problems with that estimate. So these latest numbers may have critics, too. I mean, they're based on how previous policies have affected the economy and on mathematical models. So it's likely that the debate isn't over.
No, the opinions are still floating around, I'm sure. Marketplace New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott with us live this morning from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
The stage has been set for the possible purchase of NBC Universal by Comcast Cable. You'll remember NBC is jointly owned by General Electric and French entertainment firm Vivendi. Well, Vivendi's agreed to sell back its minority stake for just under $6 billion. Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, December 1st, 2009, at marketplace.org. Precisely 24 shopping days to go until Christmas. The verdict so far, people are shopping more, but spending less than last year. They're looking for deep discounts and going cheap for every item on their list. Now, that may be okay for big retail chains, but what about the little guy? We sent Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman from the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting to find out.
Here's the problem for small store owners, says retail analyst Patty Edwards. Without sophisticated inventory tracking and market research, stocking for the holidays is pretty much a crapshoot. And in this economy, the margin for error is slim.
They don't have multiple millions of dollars to help run their dress shop, for example, and they're having to use their best intuition on how much inventory to carry, how to price it.
Gina Morris has a dress shop.
Hi there. Oh, please, come on in.
Radish Underground has been open 1 year in downtown Portland.
It's a little bit of a slow start, but we're definitely feeling a vast difference from last year when it was people literally scared to spend their money.
This year, Morris has ordered cautiously, but she doesn't plan to cut prices to compete with bigger retailers. Next door is Martinotti's. The shelves are piled high with Italian chocolate and vintage wine.
So we tend to see customers with the income to buy some very nice things. I didn't really hold back much this year on my ordering. My mother said, Frank, be careful, and I was.
Frank Martinotti says so far his sales point to a much better holiday season than last year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Obama administration is trying to find a new home for detainees at Guantanamo Bay. One possibility is a prison in rural Illinois. Some politicians are wary there. But as Joel Rose reports, others see the move as an economic boom.
Federal officials have their eye on the Thompson Correctional Center in northwest Illinois. The state prison is mostly unused, and Thompson Village President Jerry Hebler supports the idea of bringing in detainees from Guantanamo.
Sure, it'll help the economy and the unemployment. Our unemployment up here is about 10.5. They figured it'd cut it in half.
The Obama administration says a maximum security federal prison could mean $1 billion in regional economic impact and 3,000 new jobs. But University of Chicago economist Alan Sanderson is skeptical about the number of full-time jobs.
I suspect the real number is probably closer to 500. I think if you take the estimate and divide it by five, you're probably much closer to reality in these things.
Republican lawmakers say they're concerned about the safety of local residents. They're pushing for more study, while Democrats in the state legislature want to move quickly to sell the prison to the federal government. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Poor Barbie. She's had some fierce competition lately. Bratz dolls, Zuzu, the amazing electronic hamster. Now it seems Barbie's parent company, Mattel, is facing another problem on the other side of the planet. Marketplace's Shanghai correspondent Scott Tong has that.
The Barbie flagship store sits on Shanghai's main shopping street, the equivalent of Fifth Avenue. But this holiday season, the sales staff outnumber the customers, and there's a lot on sale. This sales lady hawks Barbie brand eyeshadow. It was $17, now $12. T-shirts are more than half off. It's a big come down from the store's ambitious opening in March. Back then, brand designer Richard Dixon promoted the Barbie brand wedding dress for real-life brides, $10,000.
So you, getting married and, oh my God, a Vera wedding dress, how fantastic. If you buy the Barbie Vera Wang wedding dress, you get a collector doll that wears the exact same dress, and we will sculpt that doll in your likeness.
Now, Chinese shoppers seem to have left Barbie at the altar. Parent company Mattel has replaced the store's general manager and revised its sales targets. Shanghai consultant and seasoned shopper Michelle Wei provides a clue to what went wrong.
We never played with Barbie dolls growing up. I don't have this sense of, wow, Barbie's so beautiful. If I shop for a friend's daughter or my niece, I may buy a doll for them, but me, I'm not so interested.
Plus, hot pink isn't too popular here. Nor is the midriff revealing Barbie brand clothing. Sean Ryan at China Market Research thinks Mattel just doesn't get young Chinese women.
They're a lot more immature. They like cute, not pure, sexy, halter top, see-through. That's not very popular in this market. The young girlish type of models do a lot better.
Point is, just because something sells in Malibu doesn't mean it'll sell in China. Youth market researcher Mary Bergstrom.
For brands to be successful in China, you need to do a little bit of ego checking at the door. So whatever your brand has accomplished outside of China isn't necessarily what you bring into China.
Bergstrom thinks this struggling store is fixable, so long as Barbie the brand puts on her glasses, does her China homework, and updates her look once again. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
As a rule, the larger an employer is, the more likely it is to offer health benefits for domestic partners. Here are some behemoths: Walmart, ExxonMobil, and Uncle Sam. Now Congress is taking a second look at the government's workplace policies. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
83 of the 100 largest employers in America offer benefits to same-sex domestic partners. But until now, the federal government has not. Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin wants to change that.
This is an issue about fairness and about good business practices. That at a root level, this is about equal pay for equal work.
So Baldwin's introduced a bill that would offer health benefits to domestic partners for federal employees. Allison Hurwitz at the Human Rights Campaign.
In addition, the partners of lesbian and gay workers would be eligible to participate in federal retirement, life insurance, and workers' compensation programs.
A companion bill has a Republican co-sponsor in the Senate, but some conservatives worry it could open the floodgates to fraud.
The language in this bill concerns me because of its vagueness.
Dan Burton is a Republican from Indiana.
Let's say somebody says, Joe and I moved in together 3 days ago, and he's my domestic partner.
Burton's point, how do you know? But Baldwin counters, domestic partners would have to sign affidavits affirming the relationship, and they could face fraud charges for lying. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, how's this for dedication in the workplace? A woman from South Florida wanted her hurried boss to make his flight to Honduras. So she called and emailed a bomb threat to Miami International Airport. Police searched the flight, but nothing. Investigators tracked the email and the call to the 31-year-old woman. She not only confessed to the bomb scare, she admitted to making the boss late in the first place. If she's out of jail, looks like she's bringing in the donuts today. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Catch us online at marketplace.org. The number's there, our scratch pad. Share your thoughts with us, marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.